This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn.
Hi there, my name is John Bell. I'm an actor and theatre director, and my favourite movie of all time is Fellini's Amarcord.
John Bell is Australia's most respected and decorated stage actor. He was at the forefront of the rebirth of Australian theatre in the 1960s and 70s at the Old Tote and the Nimrod Theatre, and introduced audiences to new Australian works performed with Australian voices and accents. In 1990, he founded the Bell Shakespeare Company, which reinvented Shakespeare for Australian audiences. And after stepping away from the company after more than 20 years on stage and behind the scenes, has since appeared on Australian stages in numerous roles, the latest being Diplomacy at the Ensemble Theatre. He directed that show as well. Amarcord is an Italian film directed by Federico Fellini, which premiered in 1973, was universally acclaimed and won numerous awards, including the 1974 Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. In a series of vignettes, the film tells the story of a year in the life of a small Italian seaside town in the 1930s, mostly humorous, but with some serious scenes about the rise of fascism. John Bell, welcome to My Favourite Movie.
Thank you.
Fascism again. You seem to have an interest in it, John.
Well, that's rather incidental to Amarcord, I must say. But fascism does have a certain fascination. I mean, why not? It's one of the most great aberrations of the 20th century. And the repercussions of it are still being felt. And it's rather horrifying to see that it's not entirely extinguished, but is on the rise as we speak in various parts of Europe.
So that's one of the things that people say about Amarcord, is that it's Fellini's way of looking at this aberration, this short period of time, even though it was 20 years or so in Italy, when fascism was the government under Mussolini. Was it an aberration, do you think, given that, as you say, it's back?
It was an aberration. It was severely crushed with the death of Mussolini. But I'm afraid the strains that lead to it are not confined to Italy. I mean, you'll find most European countries have those, that virus is still there, and it can have a resurgence when the conditions are right for it. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it right now across Europe.
When did you first see Amarcord?
Look, I can't remember the year. It was when it first came out, I know. I was a great Fellini fan. I was dazzled by Fellini, whatever he did. I wouldn't say he's the world's greatest storyteller. He doesn't have a great obligation to structure. They're fairly loosely thrown together, these movies. But as you use the word vignettes, I think they are absolutely extraordinary and very, very personal. Amarcord particularly is quite autobiographical, and it's amusing the way he uses the lens of memory, because the memories always can be distorted, especially one's memories of childhood. And it's delightful to watch the way he's ironically commenting on the way he reshapes history.
Do you remember where you saw it for the first time?
I really can't remember. It may have been, was there a movie house called the Savoy?
Yeah, there would have been.
I think there probably was. A lot of those old cinemas have gone now. Yeah. I was still a university student, and so wherever it was on, I remember vividly. There weren't that many foreign language cinemas in Sydney around that time. There was probably one or two, I think, that showed some movies with subtitles.
What do you remember of that first time that you saw it? Did you think it was a life-changing event?
I was certainly shocked by the boldness of his imagery. I think he's my favourite director in terms of his visual imagination is just extraordinary. Always the decor, the costumes, the casting. He chooses the most extraordinary range of people and faces and shapes, which he often uses very wittily and sometimes quite cruelly. But it's something to do with his wit in putting all those pieces together. For instance, I'm thinking of the ecclesiastical fashion parade that you see in Roma. Very, very amusing, very funny, very ironic. And that's kind of typical of his humour, I think. He's very cheeky and not ashamed to show it.
Is that something that you brought to your own direction?
Well, I was certainly influenced by his visual imagination, and it really reminded me of how striking one can be with decor, with costuming, with casting. That's always stayed with me, and I think he's unsurpassed in those realms.
So quite often in Bell Shakespeare, it's not set back in Elizabethan times, but it could be set in World War I or somewhere like that. Is that a direct link, do you think, to what Fellini was doing, or was that just a way of reinventing Shakespeare?
Oh, I think Shakespeare's very frequently been done out of period. I think it was still quite traditional up to the 1950s, for instance, to put Shakespeare into an Elizabethan context. But around about the 60s, that started to change, and directors like Peter Brook, Peter Hall, that generation, started to say, let's make this the relevance of these pieces really apparent. Let's bring them right into focus and put them into contemporary costume and see how the comments about militarism or about authority or about government, how do they resonate when we bring them right into the present day. And of course it worked miraculously, and people rediscovered Shakespeare as a commentator on our own times, and critics like the Polish critic Jan Kott, with his seminal book called Shakespeare, Our Contemporary, reinforced that. And Shakespeare ceased being something that was classical or traditional and suddenly became a mouthpiece for the new generation.
So when you were at the Royal Shakespeare Company, is that what they were doing, or did they still stay in the traditional method?
There was a bit of a mix. The emphasis, I think, was on let's make these contemporary pieces, not changing the text at all, not changing a word of the text, but the design and the music and the staging as contemporary as possible. And there was still the occasional traditional one, but they weren't so successful anymore.
Did you have a favourite film before that? When did it become your favourite film?
Well, over time, I've treasured all the Fellini films. I do like all of them, some more than others, perhaps. But I think Emma Court stays with me because it's such a very personal story.
Is it perfect, do you think?
Oh, probably not. I don't think Fellini does that kind of thing. He doesn't go for the well-polished article, I think. He likes a bit of loose ends here and there. And this could be continued. It could just drift on forever.
Mm. Was there something about the film you didn't like?
No, nothing about it I didn't like. I admired every aspect of it.
Have you ever been to where the film was set?
No, I haven't been to Rimini, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
I haven't been that part of Italy.
Amarcord is a word, though, that means I remember.
I remember, that's right.
Which is interesting because, you know, it is very much personal, but he's made up most of it, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's an indicator of what we all do with our memories. We do reconstruct things in a way that is palatable for us.
Did it ever make you want to be a film director?
No, I had no incentive to do that.
Why have you never made that jump?
I think it's a total full-time dedication and commitment. I'm very close friends with Bruce Beresford, for instance, and I see the effort that it takes to get a movie up, the years and years of slog, whereas I could do 3 or 4 stage productions in a year and fulfill myself that way.
You would describe yourself as a film lover, though.
Oh, yes, indeed.
What other films besides Fellini's work or even European cinema do you like?
I'm a great fan of Kubrick. I think Kubrick has a very similar visual extraordinary visual talent. Who else do I really admire? Orson Welles. I've always had a soft spot for Orson Welles. He's such a wild card and a genius. And in some ways, Citizen Kane is still one of the great epics, I think.
There have been many films made about the theatre and plays. Do you think any of them have caught what it's like to be backstage or indeed on stage?
I think quite a lot, yeah. I might find it hard to name one, but often with those old Hollywood musicals, they're generally set in a theatre. Mm. With think of all those Fred Astaire, Judy Garland movies. They're always happening in theatre and stage productions. It took quite a long time for musicals to actually get away from the theatre.
That's true.
Which is interesting, but they were always about theatre people.
Things like All About Eve. Mm. Did that ever strike a note with you, All About Eve?
You know, I haven't seen that for so long now, but I remember liking it when I saw it. But you're taking me way back.
Fellini is a very controversial director. You say you like everything he's done?
Yes, I do. Even the ones that I think somewhat, well, perhaps tedious is too strong a word, but something like Casanova, for instance. You've got to be patient with it. But if you are, every single scene is quite a gem. They're just so carelessly thrown together. And you think this just could just go on and on and on. There's no kind of dramatic structure to it. But that's the rules of the game, I think. You just go with Fellini on that one and say, yeah, okay, show me what you can do.
John Bell, thanks very much.
My great pleasure, Rod.
And that was another podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.